We continue then with our building blocks of biblical worship. Have you ever played the gift exchange game? Maybe there are other names for it, but it's the kind of thing where, you know, all the presents are under the tree or they're all piled on a table. Everybody sits, gathers around, and the first person takes a present and opens it up. And then the next person can either steal that present or go to the tree and get it. Now, this, of course, can get uproariously funny because everybody's after the same. Sometimes they're like white elephant gifts, or people pick the biggest box and it's the smallest thing. You can have all kinds of fun with it. But there was one particular situation where a woman picked a box and she sat down with it on her lap and she opened it up and she took off the cover and she looked in. Became rather embarrassed. See, the box was empty and was causing kind of an awkward moment. Who would want to steal a gift like that, huh? Do you ever feel that when it comes time to look at the gifts that God has given you, that sometimes you look in the box and you feel like it's empty? Or at least like what's in there is not what you expected or wanted? You know, you look in and you see what everybody else has and you kind of go, I sure wish I could steal theirs. You know, you hear a beautiful choir sing and you say, I sure wish I could sing with the beautiful choir. But I think sometimes what's in with all of that maybe disappointment can also be a little bit of the discontentedness that can creep in. Maybe a feeling that says, you know, we're so used to being able to just get whatever we want whenever we want it, that when it comes to the fact that we don't always have everything that we want, well, sometimes that's pretty difficult for us to handle. Today, as we continue our building blocks of worship, we're looking at the idea of gifts. The gifts that God has given us. With what has He blessed you? And even though sometimes we may think we'd like to have more than what we have, or a different set of gifts, yet we have them. And through His Word today, Jesus is encouraging us, calling on us, to not only recognize those gifts, but then to use them, each as we have been given according to His purposes, all as part of our spiritual acts of worship. Because in our heart is a longing to say thank you for the gifts that we've been given. And Jesus, in this section from His Sermon on the Mount, calls on us to make His priorities in our lives our own, to believe them, to be blessed by them, to enjoy them, to practice them, and to share them. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And as we consider that this morning, please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends, there are really two problems that plague us when it comes to earthly possessions. Things like, and I'll just throw out some examples here, like cars and cash and media collections and the like. And the first is an obvious set of problems. It's that earthly possessions are corruptible, meaning that they break. Vulnerable, in that they can be lost, stolen, or even deleted. And they are exhaustible, in that they can run out, wear out, or go out of style. And retailers know this. A place like, and I'm going to pick on Best Buy for a moment, a place like Best Buy sells all kinds of things. And we buy them, and then we buy extended warranties on top of them. They make all kinds of money on our lack of understanding. And the thing is while we all would admit we get this, the second problem is that we don't believe for a second that the first problem is real. Or at least that it'll happen to us. You know, we buy the piece of stereo equipment and we think, oh yeah, this is going to last forever. And of course it doesn't. Or we think that we're going to always like this particular pair of jeans, and either we outgrow them or overflow them or however you want to describe it, they are no longer what we want to have, and we move on, right? Well, the thing is that we need to get past that. Jesus condemns such a view, mentioning our eyes, on how we see things. He says, if your eyes are bad, that is, if you view your possessions as the thing to clutch to, the thing to hang on to, the thing to be most important in your lives, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Understand that if you're clutching on to the things of this world, you're holding on to a lie. And that's going to impact everything in your life, not just relationships with things, not even relationships with people, but most importantly, in relationship with your Lord. Because if you're not right with the Lord, if there is no light, there is only darkness. And the darkness of God is not something to take lightly. I mean, keep in mind that God used darkness to plague the Egyptians. Suffocating darkness. On several occasions, God blinded his enemies so they could not see, blinded in darkness. And then there is the darkness, of course, that overshadowed that first Good Friday. As Jesus gasped his last breaths on the cross, darkness casting its gloomy shadow over anyone whose priorities are different from the Lord. So, where is your heart? Because that's where you can tell what you truly treasure. How often have you treated the earthly possessions in your life as things to be clutched to? Oh, how great is that darkness, huh? We're forgetting God's command to keep him number one. I mean, let's be honest. We like money. We like having it. We like being able to spend it. In fact, some of us like to spend it before it's gone, if you get where that's coming from. We love having it, and we like as much of it as we possibly can get. And the truth is that God gives it to us, doesn't he? He gives us money to be able to cover the mortgage and to put food on the table, maybe enjoy a vacation or two a year, pay the cable and cell phone bill each month, and maybe even have a little bit left over. But now let's be honest again. We love God. And in an effort to practice his priorities, we've tried to make him just as important in our lives as all those other expenses. But here's the thing. God does not want to be co-chair of your life. He says, no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. So, where is your heart? There was a billboard several years ago for a certain hospital that had a smiling couple in their 50s on the billboard, and it said, at 25, she stole his heart. At 55, we fixed it. Maybe you've seen that one. Which is kind of a neat little sentiment. It shows that this couple had an issue that they couldn't take care of themselves. They loved each other. They wanted the best for each other, but they had to go to the hospital to get this work done. Because otherwise, their relationship was done. He needed his heart fixed. Something that was beyond their ability. Well, the truth is that as Jesus speaks these words to us today, where your heart is, there your treasure will be, he doesn't speak them to discourage us. He doesn't even speak them in a way to just make us feel guilty. He calls us to account and says, where is your heart? What do you truly treasure? The thing is that we have a heart problem. Our hearts are darkened and divided, and we can't fix them ourselves. Our hearts that consume earthly possessions and get fixed on the things of this world. Knowledge that can recite God's top 10 priorities, the commandments, for our lives. We may even be list 7 new goals for a better me. But it's just head knowledge. We need our heart fixed. We need somebody else's skill. And in God's love, he provides us. Psalm 147, it is Jesus who heals the brokenhearted. Jesus, the chief surgeon, has healed your heart. And he's healed it by reaching in there and cutting out all of that disease of sin, grabbing it, cutting it out, pulling it out of your heart, and taking it with him to the cross. nailed it to the cross, and then took it into the ground and buried it. And then when he rose, he left it behind so that that disease of sin in our hearts is gone, taken care of, eliminated from our lives. But you know what? There's still a gaping hole in our heart, right? So Jesus needs to fill it in order for us to truly live for him. And he fills that hole with his heavenly treasures. Forgiven guilt, peaceful promises, strength to do God's will, skills to serve, resources to support. He's filled your heart with treasures like faith and gentleness and humility and generosity and kindness and love and patience. And those heavenly treasures, those are unlike any earthly possessions because they are not corruptible, they are not vulnerable, and they are not exhaustible. Jesus has healed your broken heart. And the other amazing thing that comes with it is not only has he healed your broken heart, but by healing your heart, he's also healed your eyes. He says, if your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. This means that now you can see into that gift box and realize what God has given you. The treasures that he has placed in that hole in your heart, the joy and the faith and the patience and the kindness and the generosity, all of it, you can recognize for what it is and get your priorities in line with God's priorities. Digging into the Word, gathering for worship, singing, sharing, carrying out ministry, praying for others, and so much more. Because of the heavenly treasures Jesus has deposited in your heart, he changes your heart, your eyes, your whole life into one great big thank you note of a spiritual act of worship. Now, remember at the start, we had an empty gift box. There's more to the story. As it turns out, the woman who brought that gift blushed, gasped, and quickly explained that in her haste to wrap the present, she had forgot to actually put the gift in. It was a hand-crocheted angel ornament for the Christmas tree. Beautiful, right? Even without seeing it, you can almost picture it. Do you know which was the most sought-after stolen box, stolen gift, that gift exchange? Everybody wanted it, and nobody had seen it. That promise of a gift that was given was enough for all of them to seek even an empty box. God has promised you gifts. He's given you these heavenly treasures in your heart. And even if you think that they're not there, recognize them for what they are. You have a box that's filled with the love of Christ. You have a box that's filled with his gifts and resources. Seek after it. Put his kingdom first. And as Jesus said, all of things will be blessed, will be given to you as well. Look in your box. Use it. Worship and give all glory to your Heavenly Father. Amen.